Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club, the place investors go to gain actionable advice, learn about current market trends, and hear war stories from other professional investors out there in the field today. Before we get started, I have two quick housekeeping items to cover. First, if you like the episode, we would very much appreciate a like, subscribe, and share. It is the best way to support the show and keep it running. Second, if you are a new investor looking to get started in real estate or an experienced investor looking to take your investing to the next level, we created an ebook for you that will cover how to find deals that are actually deals, how to finance those deals with little to no money down, and how to exit those deals for maximum value. On top of that, I throw in an insane amount of free bonuses that you'll have access to once you buy the ebook. All we charge is our admin costs to keep the show running. So, if you're serious about real estate investing and want to create both active and passive income as an investor, head on over to the website at therealestateinvestingclub.com and click on the button that says Get the ebook to grab yourself a copy today. So, with that said, let's dive right in. Today we have a very special guest with us, ready to drop some investor knowledge on you. So buckle up, grab your pen and paper, and enjoy the ride. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. Today we have with us Seth Bradley. Seth is a real estate entrepreneur and an expert at achieving passive income as a highly paid professional. He's the managing partner of Law Capital Partners, a private equity firm focused on multifamily and opportunistic acquisitions. That's a hard one to say. And has closed billions of dollars in real estate transactions as a broker and investor. Seth is also the managing partner of his own firm, Bradley Law Limited, where he helps his clients with their real estate, asset protection, and business structuring needs. Seth, thank you for hopping on the show. That is a, it's a lot to say in a little bit of time.
Opportunistic acquisitions. I might need to take that out of there, man. That's tough to say. You're right. Thanks for having me on, Gabe. really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So here on the show, we always start with stories. We're big on stories. So take us back to the beginning. How did you get started here in real estate?
Sure, man. Well, if we go way back, well, I guess not that far back, but you know, I started out thinking I wanted to be a doctor. So, you know, I went to med school for a bit and I wasn't into it. Made a really hard decision to walk away. Ended up getting my MBA, followed by my law degree after that. So I've ran, you know, the full gamut of graduate education, school.
Hardcore, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I went to school in college for like longer than a doctor would. So it's pretty ridiculous. But you know, I was never really exposed to real estate or entrepreneurship growing up. I mean, I grew up in West Virginia. I was adopted when I was just a few months old from South Korea and by two of the most awesome people in the world. But they were just like the epitome. My parents were just the epitome of like work hard, provide for your family, you know, save as much as you can and just really live, you know, a simple and happy life. And, you know, that kind of stuck with me. But, you know, there was always something else there and I just couldn't identify it till a little bit later and actually took until fairly recently to figure out that, you know, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to be, you know, my own boss and be on my own. I didn't want to work, you know, 9 to 5 till 65, that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And that's always the realization is one thing and making the leap is always a difficult process once you're like, all right, I've decided I want this path. I want to get off of the train tracks. I want to get out of the 95. And then you got to make that leap and you got to take that step. And that's always the hardest part from when it comes to entrepreneurship.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I had that step. I mean, you know, leaving med school was a big deal for sure. And that was a great decision though. I mean, it got me into business. I got my MBA and started getting exposed to business folks and then went into law. I never wanted to be a litigator or anything like that, but I did love real estate. I was always interested in real estate. So I got into transactional law and got a really good big law job out of law school. And that's kind of when I started having those aha moments kind of down that path. And, you know, the first one was just looking at these big real estate deals. I mean, you know, we were closing $100 million plus acquisitions or financings and just meeting the clients and on these transactions. And, you know, they're not Steve Jobs or Bill Gates or something. You know, they're not these businessmen you put on a pedestal. They're really just regular guys like you and me.
Yeah,
and, you
know, property. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And you just see this over and over again and you're like, man, these guys are just regular dudes, you know, buying these huge properties. And you're like, well, and I started thinking, I want to be on that side of the table. You know, I'm sophisticated. I know real estate. I know how to close these deals. I know the ins and outs. So if, you know, if they can do it, then I can do it. So that was kind of my first aha moment. And then the second one was just, you know, I like to call it typical, but I don't think many people take action on it. But I just started seeing these guys that are, you know, in their 70s, you know, they're partners at these big law firms and getting to know them a little bit better. And, you know, I just started thinking, you know, why are they still here? Why are they still in the office all the time?
What are you doing?
Yeah, you're like in your 70s, late 60s, and it's just like, you know, you're probably making a lot of money. I mean, these guys are making $1 million in salary a year, but they've been making that kind of money for a long time. And it's like, you know, what point in time in your life are you going to sit back and enjoy, you know, what you've done? And most of those folks, I think that they've just got caught up in that lifestyle and caught up it, and they've gotten really good at what they do. And they've just gotten kind of married to their jobs. They don't really know what else there is out there. You know, they've just been doing it for so long. And I just kind of came to that realization that I didn't want to go down that pathway.
Yep. Yep. Makes complete sense to me. I was kind of did the same thing. I was in management consulting, kind of saw the route, saw the writing on the wall, you know, the partners, what the track was like. And I was like, nah, not for me. Time to make a different decision.
Yeah.
So that's awesome that you did make the leap. I mean, you saw that, you saw the partners, you realized that wasn't for you. You decided to move on to real estate. How'd you make that leap? What was the first few transactions like?
Yeah. So I got into it just doing like some house hacking. I house hacked into like a duplex, in 2013 and did that a few times actually, as I took different jobs, as I kind of moved my way up. And then I just started buying some other single family rentals and doing flips and did a couple of wholesales and that kind of stuff, a little bit of everything, you know? And you know, I knew that wasn't the end goal though. I knew I wanted to get into bigger and better stuff, get into commercial. There's nothing against residential and right. single family. I mean, I actually still do that kind of investing because I think, you know, you need to be opportunistic in that. If you see those opportunities, if there's foreclosures, if you have those banking relationships, things like that, I mean, there's no reason not to do it. I mean, you know, owning 100% of that versus owning, you know, 5% or 20% of another, you know, bigger deal, you know, whatever, you know, you've got to be opportunistic in that. But I started transitioning into the commercial space a few years ago, you know, started raising some capital, partnering with some other seasoned operators and kind of developed a business, you know, step by step and learning the ropes. And, you know, I already knew it from, you know, a legal perspective and a broker perspective. So, it, you know, just took a little bit more time to kind of get it from the operator and owner perspective.
Cool. Yeah. So let's dive a little bit deeper into that transition, because I know a lot of guys out there, they're doing single family, they're doing flips, wholesales, you know, buy and holds, all that kind of stuff. But just in the single family niche, they see commercial, you know, multifamily, mixed use, mobile home, RV parks, that kind of stuff. They Yep. want to get there. They don't know how to get there. So what was that transaction like or transition like for you?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been told, and I've heard this a few different times, that the best way, you know, and you don't have to do it this way. I mean, a lot of people just skip it, but invest passively first, you know, find a group, an operating group that'll kind of take you under their wing, or at least like maybe let you participate in some meetings. I don't know, just let you kind of see behind the curtain a little bit, but, you know, invest passively a couple of times and then maybe become kind of an ancillary sponsor, as in, you know, you're participating in the deal, you're raising some capital, some investor relations, some due diligence, you know, just kind of getting your feet wet. And then, you know, do that for a couple of deals. And then on the next few deals, then you can actually start sourcing your deal, you know, doing the whole thing and being that direct operator. So that's kind of the pathway that I've taken.
Gotcha. I love it. And I mean, now you are an operator. So what, let's go into the details of your business on the commercial side, you know, what you're doing over there. So first, how do you go about finding these deals? I mean, it sounds like you're a broker, so you probably see them on market. Do you do off market marketing or anything like that?
So I do. So I'll actually stop you there, because I'm actually not sourcing my own deals yet. So I'm actually not a direct operator, and I'm not sure if I want to take that next step, because I really want to scale being kind of a capital raiser, an ancillary operator, and, you know, handle, you know, some of the legal stuff. So I partnered with direct operators and handled kind of their real estate legal work with respect to the deal, as well as bring, you know, significant capital to the deal and, you know, handle some due diligence, handle that kind of stuff, because I do have the brokerage skills as well. And I like that model, and I'm still trying to decide if I actually want to directly own or not, because, you know, I like the idea of freedom. I like the idea of passive income and to be able to live wherever you want and do what you want when you want to. So that model that I'm operating under right now, you know, I can do that from anywhere. I can move to Barcelona or Rome and I can do the same thing and raise capital and, you know, help these guys out with their transactional real estate needs in these deals from anywhere. So, you know, I'm kind of on the fence about where I want to take that or not, but right now I really like where that's going.
Gotcha. So you're more on, you're trying to focus more on the transactional side at this moment. You're not quite sure what'll happen in the future, but that's kind of where you're at right now. That's your niche.
Yeah. I mean, I love real estate. Like I love the nitty gritty of getting in there and doing it. Like I've done the fix and flips and all that kind of stuff. So I do love it. But again, you know, that takes more time and, you know, you've got to be on location and you've got to make yourself available to travel and be there and stuff. So again, I'm just all about the, you know, the passive income and just trying to, you know, live life as free as possible.
Yep, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the transactional sides. That is your forte. So let's kind of go into that. What are some big mistakes that you see people making when they go into larger deals? It could be the structuring of their LLC, anything like that. What are the main mistakes that you see people running into?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll just kind of speak in generalities, but a lot of the things that people get themselves into trouble with, and this is really for any business, not just, you know, a syndication or a real estate deal, but just structuring your partnership correctly and, you know, lining up your, you know, your all of your entities and getting all of your legal docs in order as early as possible. I mean, if you and I did a deal and we wanted to form a company, I mean, we need to do it as soon as possible before we find a deal to, you know, work out the kinks, know what's going to happen, put it in the legal docs and just know what's going to happen before something bad happens, you know, because, you know, it's all fun and games until people start losing money, if they lose money. And then if they do, that's when people get upset. And that's when people, that's when you go back to the legal docs and you're like, oh man, what the hell did I sign? And you go in there and look and see. And then that's when you're like, oh, well, look right here in article 4.256, you know, this says that you have to do this. And that's when you're like, oh man, I should have read those legal docs the first time and negotiated them correctly and make sure that it's fair for everyone going forward.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. I totally understand that once shit kind of hits the fan, that's when the legal docs come into play.
Exactly.
It's just something that's in the background.
if nothing ever goes wrong, it's all good. If nobody gets sued, if you know, there's no problems, everybody's making money, then, you know, the legal documents don't even matter that much, to be honest with you, because nobody ever looks at them. But it's when something starts going wrong that you start looking things up and trying to see how this is going to go.
Absolutely. So let's go into a little bit more about legal structuring. I mean, you talked about partnerships. Do you, when you do bring people together to execute a deal, do you always put things in an LLC? Do you, if it's a JV, do you have another agreement outside of the LLC? What do you usually do to structure that?
Yeah. So generally you're going to have, you know, most people do LLCs nowadays. If we're talking about the typical syndications, I mean, in the past, you know, let's say 10 years ago, you would see general partnerships or limited partnerships a little bit more often. But nowadays, you rarely see that. You almost always see LLCs. And there's, you know, just different layers. I mean, if there's one major partner or something that's bringing in a massive amount of the capital, or it's like a family office or something, you're probably going to have to structure it like a JV. So you'll have kind of, you know, the operating LLC, and then you'll have that family office or whatever that has their kind of entity structure over there. And then, you know, that structure plus your operating structure forms a JV, and that can be in the form of another LLC, or that can be in the form of just a, you know, a JV agreement which is basically just kind of it's a contract to agree. So it's basically an LLC agreement, just kind of operating under the context of just a contract between the two parties.
Gotcha. And that's common when you see, what was the context in which that's common? You see larger, family offices combining with another, I don't know, operator, individual, something like that.
That's right. Yeah. A lot of times if you have someone coming in with, you know, let's say it's a $10 million raise and, you know, this family office is like, I want special terms, but I'll give you $8 million of that $10 million raise, but I want special terms. I want special voting rights. I want to be able to participate. Then they might come in with their own kind of entity structure to partner with the typical syndication structure.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Let's go a little bit into your podcast. You just launched, in fact, I think you said yesterday, you just launched your podcast, the Passive Income Attorney Podcast, correct?
That's right. Yep. Just launched yesterday. So excited to get that thing going.
And so what's the background? I mean, Passive Income Attorney Podcast. So what is the context? Who should be listening to your podcast?
Sure. It's more of a, it's like an educational platform. I mean, I'm a little biased towards real estate, but I'm doing my best to present, you know, all different types of passive income streams that attorneys and other highly paid professionals can, you know, look at, because everybody's kind of, not everyone, but a lot of people are seeking for a similar way out, like my story and your story, where you're like, hey, I need to look at alternative assets or maybe a side gig or something where I can start, you know, buying my time back and I'm not just slaving away to the man every single day. So that's really the focus, is to present, you know, different kinds of passive income streams that they can look at. And it's a little bit partial to real estate, but I'm doing my best to present some other some other things as well.
Hey man, I got nothing with the partiality towards real estate. All right. Well, hey, we have we've reached the 15 minute mark, so I gotta push you into the quick question round.
I ask
you quick questions, you give me quick answers. It's simple as that. Starts out with books. Two book recommendations, one for real estate, one for general life wisdom.
Let me think. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I hate to say it. I'm sure everybody says it, but I mean, that's just the book that changes your mindset. And I wish I would have read it when I was in middle school. When I, you know, when I have kids, I'm going to have them read it when they're in elementary school. So that's just, you know, number one for sure. So I guess that would be kind of a business book. And then real estate wise, let me think. I really enjoyed Hunter Thompson's book, The Raising Capital for Real Estate. Yeah. That was a great book. I thought it was very, you know, it was written in a very kind of simple manner. And that, I don't mean to say that in a bad way. It was like a really easy to digest, and it's a complicated topic. So it was a really good book.
Yeah, no, for sure. I love books that take something complicated and make it simple, because then it's like, okay, yeah, it's not as complicated as people make it seem.
Yep.
So that's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and then Raising Capital by Hunter Thompson. Great recommendations. Yep. Next question is for your younger self. So the Seth who was, you know, just getting out of the 20 years of education and he was getting into the working world. Go back to him, look him in the eye, give him one piece of advice moving forward.
Yeah, I would say, you know, go ahead and skip the med school. Go straight into law school. I don't regret law school. I mean, that was great. I mean, that has opened a lot of doors for me in pretty much any room that I walk into. You know, if I say I'm an attorney, and I hate to present myself like that, but you know, a lot of times it comes down to that, and people's ears perk up and they kind of give you the time of day, whereas otherwise they might not. So, you know, stay on that path, but just keep the idea in the back of your head that, you know, there are other things out there. Big law and, you know, working till you're 70 is not the only way out. So maybe you can kind of figure it out a little bit sooner.
I like it. Good advice. Next question is an opportunity for you to brag, kind of flex your muscles. What is your Superman strength? What are you really good at?
I think I'm really good at breaking down a simple or a complicated topic and making it simple. You had kind of mentioned that. I took that perspective in my legal practice. You know, a lot of times there are very complicated things that are in these contracts, and I think I'm really good at relating to business folks and taking kind of legalese and breaking it down into something more simple that they can relate to, so that they can understand it better and make smart business decisions.
I love it. Next question is for habits. So what habit do you feel contributes the most to your success?
Working out for sure. I mean, I make sure that I do some sort of physical working out every single day. I actually own a gym with my wife. So that's kind of saved us through COVID, because all the gyms have been closed. So we could, even when they were completely closed, we were able to still go to our own gym and work out and do that sort of thing. So, you know, if I go even like 2 days without working out, I start feeling like jittery and like I can't focus mentally. So definitely working out keeps me focused on, you know, being able to produce work-wise.
Yep. Nope. Same way, right there with you. And that's cool that you own the gym. The question is, do you own the real estate that the gym is in?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. It's in a big shopping center. So at the time, I was not capable of taking that down. But nowadays, the next one, we might do it.
Next time, take down that whole shopping center. That's right.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, hey, Seth, thank you for hopping on the show. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Yeah, absolutely. Gabe, really appreciate it.
Cool. For everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason that we do this, so we appreciate having you here. Again, the best way to support the show is just to subscribe, like, and share this episode with your friends and family, and leave a review for us on Apple Podcasts. Other than that, I hope you guys have an absolutely fantastic day. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode and were able to pull some actionable advice that you can go home with and apply to your own investing business. Before you go, I have a gift for you. If you're a new investor looking to get started or an established investor looking to take your business to the next level, I've created an ebook just for you available on the website. This ebook will cover how I was able to create both active and passive income in real estate with very little money to start with. In it, I will address the three most often cited obstacles new and veteran investors run into by showing you how to find a deal that's actually a deal, how to finance that deal with little to no money down, and how to exit a deal for maximum value. And if you get the ebook today, I'm going to bury you in bonuses, seven of them to be exact. First, you'll get the off-market lead generation blueprint, which will take you through the exact systems and processes we use to generate off-market leads like clockwork, which is the most important skill when it comes to creating real wealth in real estate. Then you'll get the A to Z REI systems and vendors guide, which will allow you to peek under the hood of our business and see the exact tools and systems and even the vendors we use to grow our business. After that, you will get the top 100 best performing keywords pack, which will give you the exact keywords we use to target leads online and generate leads without having to lift a finger. Next, you'll get the contracts bundle for wholesaling and renting real estate, which will give you access to all of the contracts we use in the field to execute all types of transactions. After that, you'll get the investor's quick analysis calculator and offer tool, which will allow you to quickly calculate whether a deal is an actual deal and will allow you to create an offer automatically from those calculations. Next up, we'll give you the investor's daily success tracker, which is a tracker you can use to ensure you are taking the right actions day in and day out to reach your financial goals in real estate. And finally, you will get the wholesaler's template for quick assignment cash, which will give you the templates we use to present our wholesale deals professionally and efficiently to our buyers. I know that is a ton of things to say. I'm glad you were able to stick with it. So you'll get both the ebook and all of those seven free bonuses. When you download the ebook today, all we charge is the admin cost to run the show. So if you are interested in the ebook and the bonus bundle, head on over to the website at therealestateinvestingclub.com. Click on Get the Ebook Bundle at the top of the page and take advantage of that deal. With that housekeeping item covered, I hope you have an absolutely fantastic day and even better week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.